Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to our Healed and Whole series. We're so glad you're joining us today. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my beautiful wife, Carly. And we're excited that you're with us today. We're going to have a great time. We're going to do a whole series on healing and being whole and what that means, praise God. So we're glad you're joining us, praise God. So what have you got for us, Carly?
You know, there are many people that that struggle in the area of healing. And so we just felt it was about time that we put together a series that dealt specifically with how to receive your healing or how to help you minister healing to other people. And, you know, healing is one of those things. It's very contentious in the body of Christ. And so regardless of what your spiritual background has been like, this series is for you, and we believe that through this series, you're going to learn to receive your healing, but also be able to help other people to receive theirs. So regardless of where you've come from, we can all start in the right direction and move on from there. And I believe that we're going to get lots of testimonies from this series.
Amen. It's going to be great. We're excited, praise God. So this is something that people, you know what, we needed to hear it, praise God. Everyone needs to hear this. And this is the gospel. This is part of the gospel. This is what part of why Jesus came, praise God. So we're excited about this. Amen. So,
you know, Jesus had a healing ministry.
Amen.
Right? And for many years, we were believers. In other words, we were Christians. We went to church on Sunday. We went to church in midweek. We were Christian fanatics, right? But we still struggled with the receiving healing in our own life, predominantly because we didn't even know it was available, right? And we have so many different testimonies. You're going to see that those testimonies woven in throughout this series, so we're not going to get to them all today. But really, the tipping point for us was our daughter Hannah. Mm. So, you know, when our daughter Hannah was born, we knew that there was something very wrong with her. But it took about 2 years for the doctors to finally diagnose Hannah with eosinophilic enteropathy, which sounded terrible.
Say that again.
Eosinophilic enteropathy.
I can't say that.
That's why I did. It's okay. But you know, that's not the only sickness that we've dealt with in our life. We've got lots of different examples of healings and miracles throughout our family and people that we've encountered during in ministry. But by the time Hannah was 2 years old, she'd been sick her entire life, and at that point, she finally got diagnosed. But I just want to start, Ashley, maybe you can help us here. I just want to start way back before Hannah was even sick. How did we think about these things? How did we think about healing? Where were we spiritually?
Well, both of us got born again about the same time. We were 16 years old. We weren't brought up in Christian homes, but our parents got born again later on in life. So we weren't brought up in church. But what happened was, is we believed God could heal. And we went to a church that believed God could heal. And we both believed personally that God could heal and he had the power to heal. But we believed that God was sovereign and he just decided who he was going to heal and who he wasn't. And we thought, well, sometimes you have to get a lot of people praying to make God heal someone. Sometimes it's just up to God. Sometimes he wouldn't heal someone because they could learn a lesson from it and things like that. So we believed God had the power to heal, but we didn't believe it was God's will to heal every time. And this is a very big this is subtle, but it's a very big difference, because if you believe God can heal, but he doesn't choose to heal all the time, in a way, that's worse than believing God can't heal. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you had the power to help someone and make someone well, but you choose not to.
You're withholding your ability to help them.
You're withholding your ability to help them. That's terrible. That's saying, you know, I could help you, but I'm choosing not to.
Right.
So that's worse than believing God doesn't heal today altogether. So that's what we believed. We believed it was God's will to heal. It was God had the power to heal, but it wasn't always God's will to heal.
So he was almighty, all in control.
Yeah, almighty, all in control. Que sera, sera, it's all up to God. But we did believe God could heal. And we actually saw the church we was part of, was leadership in a couple of churches. And the church we was in leadership with before Hannah was healed, we'd seen people healed. And we was encouraged to pray for people to be healed. But what they told us was, you know, you pray for the people and you lay hands on them and you pray for them to be healed. And then it's up to God if he heals them or not. That's what we believe.
So there really wasn't, even though we may have prayed for some people to receive healing and may have seen some signs of healing here or there, there really wasn't any consistency there. And, you know, we've come to realize since and from the Word of God that there really wasn't much expectancy. Right. And expectancy is a big part of allowing the power of God to flow through you. If we don't expect to see the power of God working, we're not likely to see the power of God working. Right. And one of the things we really want to nail down in this introductory session is the fact that healing should be normal for Christians. It's part of the everyday ministry of the Holy Spirit. It should be the normal Christian life, not just something that super-duper people can experience, but something that is for everyone every day. So let's jump in and let's just look at some scripture here, because it's all very well us giving testimonies and giving our point of view, but I know there are some of you here that have just really struggled because you need to see it in the Word of God. We need to see it in the Word of God. We need evidence, amen? Yeah. And so let's start here in, this is in 3 John verse 2, and it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." In other words, we're going to see prosperity in our physical body, but it's linked to how we're thinking. You see, in our soul is the seat of our mind, will, and emotions. So in other words, as we start to think it prosperously, we're going to start to see prosperity in our flesh.
Okay.
Now, there's financial prosperity as well, but specifically in this series, we're dealing with physical, with healing, with physical prosperity in a sense. But that prosperity in our physical body is linked to how we think in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. So how we think about healing directly influences what we can receive in the area of healing. I hope that makes sense. So, you know, we started out here, we kind of hinted at Hannah. We have three children, and Hannah is our youngest child, and they're our children, all teenagers now.
I know, that's crazy. We're old.
Well, my goodness, we're getting on. We're getting on in years.
We've got teenage kids. But, she was the third one to be born. And I remember at first the doctors said, because she wasn't eating, and at first the doctor said, "Oh, she's just a fussy child. Just keep trying different foods of her." And we tried that, and then they thought, well, we're being neurotic. We're being too... But, you know, we had two other babies. We'd grown up. We'd seen two other toddlers.
Parents.
We'd weaned other, our two boys and everything else. We knew about that. But she just would not eat solid food. So for all her life, she could not swallow food. She couldn't eat solid food. And we knew there was something wrong. We knew there was something wrong with her, but the doctors didn't. And then finally, she was just over 3 years old, 3 years and about 2 months old when they finally came to a head and they did that operation on her and put a feeding tube. They tried a GI tube first through her nose. That didn't work. And then they finally put a feeding tube in her and fed her this synthetic formula. Mm-hmm. So that was the final stage when she was about two months old.
Right. But by the time she got to that three-year-old mark, like I mentioned, she was diagnosed when she was two. And the doctors, they kind of diagnosed her, but they didn't really know what to do with her. Right. In fact, they actually gave us a sticky note with the name of the condition on it and told us to go Google it because there just really wasn't very much known about this condition. It was very rare. It was an autoimmune disease, which in essentially it just meant that whenever she put food into her own body, that her body was not able to digest it properly, was not able to absorb the proteins and break them down and turn that into nutrients. And so, you know, if you can't digest protein, if you can't break your food down, what happens is the child basically is slowly starving to death.
Right.
And that's really where Hannah was. She started out as being, we always knew she was pretty sickly. She would always vomit a lot. Mm-hmm. She'd be in constant pain, trouble with reflux, that kind of thing. But as she grew older, she wasn't growing. Right. She had failure to thrive is what they started out with. And so at the age of 3 months old, she had very stunted growth, didn't she?
Yeah, she was the size of a nine-month-old baby, which is quite funny. We used to put her down to walk, and, you know, people thought she was a baby. She was like the size of a nine-month-old. We put her down and she'd walk. They'd go, "Your baby's walking. How old is she?" I was like, "She's two and a half. She's nearly three," and they couldn't believe it. But, yeah, she never really developed. Her hair thinned out, and she went downhill. So her hair thinned out. Her skin went up a translucent. Near the end, her eyes blackened and they type of sunk in. Into her face,
and she looked a cancer patient.
Yeah, she looked really sickly, and of course she had the machine strapped to her as well. So she looked really sickly, and it really was one of those things that was deteriorating slowly, but definitely towards the end it really escalated and it got really serious. And I remember talking to the doctor. We had the privilege of being in, I guess it's a privilege in a way, but of Great Ormond Street, which is one of the best children's hospitals in the world. Yeah, specialist children's hospital is one of the best in the world in London. And I remember talking to the specialist there. I said, "Look." I took him outside the room and I said, "Look, give it to me straight, Doc. You know, first of all," I said to him, thinking back, it's type of rude, right? I said to him, "How long have you been doing this for?"
We wanted to know that he was qualified.
Well, you know what?
It's our baby, right? It's any baby, it's our baby.
Someone gave me one of those gift experiences to fly a plane, you know, and I went up, there's a two-seater plane, and the guy next to me, he looked really young. And I'm like, "This guy looks young." So I asked him, I was like, "How long have you been flying planes for?" And he said, "Oh, I've been flying planes for 3 years." And I was like, "That's really not long enough." And then I said...
You're putting your life in his hands.
I know, right? 3 years. I'd like a decade of flight experience. So I'm already getting a bit nervous. Then he said to me, "But this is my first solo flight."
About oh no!
So I was like, this is not good.
You don't want that kind of doctor.
I don't know how to fly a plane. No.
You don't want that kind of doctor looking after your child.
I wanted to know this doctor knew what he was doing. So, right. So looking back, it was sort of disrespectful. But I said, "How long have you been doing this for?" He said, "I've been doing this for, I think he said 25 years." So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, so his experience, that's good. I said, "How bad is my daughter?" And he said, "She's pretty bad." I said, "No, tell me straight. How?" He said, "She's the worst case of this I've seen." Right. I said, "Okay, so I know what I'm dealing with." And I said, "What's the next plan? Because the feeding tube, the operation they gave her was to put a feeding tube directly into her stomach. Mm-hmm. That wasn't working. And I remember saying to him, "What's next?" And he'd have a look, and they said that was the last, mm-hmm. that was the last resort. And he said, "Well," he said, "we could try some steroids. We could try pumping him with steroids."
They were just having a go, really.
And they said, "Bring her back." He said, "Take her home today and bring her back in 2 weeks." And afterwards, I found out they were expecting us to live a week, no more than a week. So when they said bring her back in 2 weeks, they knew it was just a kind way of us taking her home to die. Because they said if steroids would have done anything, if they could have done anything else for our daughter, they would have done it then and there. They would never have sent her home for 2 weeks. So that was the last resort they did to her. They figured she'd live another week. So send her. They said bring her back in 2 weeks, never expecting to see her again. So that's how serious it was. They didn't tell us she only had a week to live or 2 weeks to live. But afterwards, they said, yeah, that's why we said 2 weeks, because we thought she'd only live a week to 10 days.
And, you know, when you get that kind of diagnosis, maybe you're watching this series specifically, you are drawn to it because maybe you have a terminal diagnosis. Maybe you have only been given a short time to live. And, you know, when those kinds of things happen to you, suddenly that gives you motivation, right? And that's really where we were at with Hannah. We had motivation. Ashley explained to you that, you know, in our past spiritual experience, we'd grown up thinking, you know, and we had people saying to this, you know, maybe God has put this on your daughter for God to teach you something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so maybe you've done something as parents that this is God's judgment on you.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we saw our daughter in such a terminal state, if you like, that gave us some motivation to kind of be open-minded to the things of God that we kind of hadn't been before.
Yeah.
And so during this whole stage in our life that was going on, we got a little teaching tape. Something pivotal happened in our life.
Right. Well, we already believed the word, and we were very into the word, and we were like a little bit radical Christians because it was on leadership
in church. We had been digging into the word.
We'd been digging in. It was on leadership in church and things like that. But we know when we got this diagnosis for Hannah and we realised the last result wasn't working, we got more serious. And I remember about 2.5 weeks before she was healed, we was dropping the boys off at your parents because she had to go in for this operation.
Hannah was having surgery.
She was having surgery. So I'd borrowed a car. It wasn't our car. I'd borrowed a bigger car and we drove up. It was like a minivan, MPV, what they call them in England, MP.
A people carrier.
A people carrier, that's the one. MPV, I think they call them in England. Multi-purpose vehicle.
Yes.
Here in America, they call them minivans. So yeah, we're catering to our international
There
audience.
We go, we're global.
Anyway, it was a van, and it didn't have a CD player, it only had a tape player. So I remember asking Carly's mum, have you got any tapes that I could play? And she opened the drawer and dug around at the back of the drawer, and she found this little white cassette tape. And lo and behold, it was an Andrew Womack Ministries cassette tape. It was called Your New Identity in Christ. In fact, that teaching has been discontinued, but we have it on our website. You can actually go to our website, terradesministries.com.
You can download that for free.
You can download that for free. That's the original teaching that we listen to. It's called Your New Identity in Christ. And it was recorded about 20 to 25 years ago. I think, at least 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And Andrew Womack says he remembers teaching that teaching because he stood up in the church. He was a visiting speaker. I think it was in Louisiana. And he stood up and he taught everything he knew for like an hour and a half. He just preached everything he knew, like 10 minutes on everything. Authority of the believer, God wants you well. All these different things, better way to pray, all these different things he taught on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got that tape and put it in the car, that tape had been in the drawer for like 15 years.
It was like a seed that was planted, right?
In just waiting. In your mum's chest of drawers for like 15 years.
Yeah, and, you know, we hadn't heard of him. We, you know, she had some other tape play, teaching tapes in there, you know, and of people that we'd already heard of. And what drew us to that teaching, obviously it was the Holy Spirit, but, you know, we'd never heard of this guy. We thought, well, why not give him a chance?
So we put it on. I remember that first time I heard it, that when I understood that I was spirit, soul and body, I remember when I understood that, you know what, I have got authority as a believer. God's given me authority. I remember when I first realised, you know what, it's God's will to heal every time. God's a good God.
If this is blowing your mind already, we're going to go through and explain these points in this series
We'll break all that down and explain it, because it's key to healing.
It is.
But that teaching is amazing. So anyway, we heard that teaching, and that was really the first time we heard the true gospel. We were born again. We believed in Jesus. We were spirit-filled. We believed the word of God, but no one had taught us the true gospel. No one had taught us that God is good, and he's good all the time. So that really changed everything. When we heard that tape, that changed everything. And on this tape, Andrew kept saying, I've got a 10-part series on this, and I've got a 10-part series on that, and I've got a 6-part CD set on this and everything else. And I was like, who is this guy with all these series?
It was like a teaser trailer to all of these other truths that were hidden in the word of God that we hadn't seen.
That's right.
And that really drew us in, didn't it?
So we went to the website, went to his website. His website's still the same. It's still got free teachings on there. We went to his website, Andrew Womack's website, and I started downloading all these free teachings on a better way to pray and God wants you well and all these things. I started downloading them, and I gave a set to Carly, and I had a set, and I was at that time we was remodeling a house, so I was remodeling this house. I had the headphones on while I was remodeling. Carly was in hospital with Hannah, and she listened to it on her MP3 player, and we just listened to these teachings like nonstop for the next 2 weeks. We haven't had a crash course of the gospel, and we'd already read the word. We already were word people. We used to write out scriptures and put them on sticky notes all over our walls. I used to keep a journal. I used to write out scriptures longhand when scripture spoke to me, and I'd probably write 2 or 3 pages a day. So we were word people. We loved the word, but it didn't quite connect. And now Andrew was connecting all the dots for us. His teaching made all these verses make sense. And for once, the word started to make sense. So we listened to this stuff nonstop for like 2 weeks and heard the true gospel, praise God. So that's where our faith came alive, if you like, because now we understood. And like you're saying, how can you have faith in a God who's unpredictable? 1 minute he heals, 1 minute he puts a disease on you to teach you something. How can you believe God's a good God if, you know, sometimes he heals you and sometimes he chooses not to heal you? Sometimes he wants you to get 20 people in a prayer chain. And I know I might be stepping on toes here. We're all for prayer and we believe in prayer, and we're going to cover more in depth in a later lesson about prayer and the power of prayer. But you know what? What type of God is it that says, well, I'm going to heal you if you get X amount of people to pray and to twist my arm?
Or if you perform just right.
If you perform just right. You've got to type of convince me. You don't have to convince God to heal you. God wants to heal you. He wants you well, praise God. It's always his will to heal you.
Amen.
And that's the good news. And that's what we understood from these teachings. And praise God, we're going to break this down and explain. Well, some of you might be thinking already, well, what about this? What about that? What about my aunt so-and-so? What about my granddad? What about these things?
We've had those same questions.
Yes.
We're going to show you how we work through it.
Yes, amen. We'll show you what the Word of God says about these things. But you know what? It's amazing. When you go to the Word and read it for what it is, I went back to a lot of scriptures and read them and realized, you know what? I had church, if you like, and I'm not blaming church, but I had church or I had religious people teach me these scriptures and teach me something that wasn't there.
Right.
You know, one example of that, I remember Adam and Eve. You know, I always believed, well, God was so mad at Adam. Adam sinned against God, and God kicked Adam out of the garden, and he broke fellowship with him. And I remember listening to Andrew teaching, though, God didn't break fellowship with man. Man walked away from God. And I was like, no, that's not true.
I think sometimes the problem is, we have lived our Christian life, and this is no condemnation because we've been here, okay? But we've lived our Christian life by being spoon-fed from the pastor on Sunday.
Right.
Rather than getting into the Word of God for ourselves and getting a revelation from God directly.
Amen.
And there are so many believers like that that have almost a secondhand revelation.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that things get, it's like the game of Chinese whispers. You know, somebody hears something and they pass it on, and by the time the last person is speaking, the message has got slightly warped.
They call it telephone here in America.
Right.
They call it the telephone game.
Telephone game. Okay, when we were kids, we called it Chinese whispers. But you know, when we start to get into the Word of God, I want to show you a scripture here. This is in Romans 1, verse 16, and I like how it says it in the Amplified. But it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes." You know, the gospel, the real gospel, has power in it. And we realized that we were not seeing the power of God in our life because the version of the gospel that we'd believed had gotten, we'd gotten a warped version of the gospel.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, if you're not seeing the power of God in your life, then maybe you're in the same position that we were. And we got back into the Word of God for ourselves, and the Holy Spirit brought all these truths to us. But really, that turning point was having a crisis. And so if you're at a point of crisis in your life, you know what? You are perfectly positioned for a turning point.
Amen.
Amen. Your victory is just around the corner. So hang on.
Amen.
You know, in this version of Romans 1:16 in the Amplified, if you break that down and look in the original Greek, that word for power in that scripture is talking about dunamis. That is miracle working power. You know, the miracle, you could read it like this, the miracle working power of God. You know, the gospel is the good news, right? Yeah. So you could say the gospel is the good news of God's miracle working, abundant, mighty power. And that word salvation, it actually means abundant, right? Abundant deliverance, healing, salvation, forgiveness, and protection. So if you put all those things and really get down into the Greek and really look at what that scripture originally meant, you could read it like this. The gospel is the good news of God's miracle-working, abundant, mighty power to deliver, heal, save, forgive, and protect from harm all of those that trust in Jesus.
Wow, that's a good translation.
That's powerful, isn't it? Man, I tell you, if the version of the gospel that you're hearing is not that powerful, then you need to get back into the world or maybe sometimes get a different Bible. Amen? Seriously.
We did read a Bible that had a few verses missing. So the translation we had some verses missing. You may know which one that is. Now we usually use the New King James and the Amplified and things like that. But, you know, that's what happened. I had the gospel filtered, if you like, through the churches I'd been to and through my religious mind. And no one had taught me the truth about the gospel. No one had taught me the true nature of God. So, like, the Adam and Eve thing I was telling you about, it's like I believe that God was mad at Adam and broke fellowship with him. Yeah. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, well, where's that in the... Show me, where's that in the Bible?
You had a warped perspective, partly filtered because you didn't understand God's real nature, which is love.
Yeah. Amen. So I went back to the scriptures, I looked for it, and I was like, you know what? I can't find that in the Bible. God didn't break fellowship with Adam. God wasn't mad at Adam and couldn't stand the sight of him anymore. God tried to restore fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. God went looking for Adam after he'd sinned. I was like, man, God really is a good God. He's a merciful God. The only reason God put Adam outside the Garden of Eden was for mercy, so that he wouldn't eat eat and live forever. So it's like, that was a mercy, but God never broke fellowship. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'd added so much to the Word of God through listening to different sermons and through my own religious thinking that basically I was reading some of these scriptures and I wasn't getting the full gospel. I wasn't getting the full true nature of God, if you like. Mm-hmm. And one thing the enemy does, he's very slick. You know what? One thing he does is he will make you believe that God does bad things. He'll make you believe that, you know, God isn't all he says he is. And that's one of the key things. I know we're going to cover it in more depth later, but the true nature of God, if you can really understand that God is a good God, he only has good things for you. The devil's a bad devil. He only has bad things for you. It's a John 10:10 kind of doctrine. And that's it. Simple as that. And my friend says, you know what? You have to have religion help you mess that up because a child can understand this thing. God is good. The devil is bad. God does good. The devil does bad. That's it. And all sickness comes from the devil. And God wants to heal every time. Healing is a blessing. Health is a blessing. Amen. And sickness and being sick is a curse.
Amen.
It's as simple as that.
Amen. You know, as we started to get more into the Word of God and you know, our motivation with it was our dying daughter, we started to realize that Jesus had a healing ministry. Let's look at this. This is in Luke 6, verse 17. And it's talking about Jesus. It says, he came down from them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So they came with expectancy. That's really key. We're going to unpack that in later in the series. They came with expectancy. In verse 18, as well as those that were tormented with unclean spirits and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him. And this is what I want you to get. And he healed them all. Every single person that came to Jesus, you can look throughout many different examples in the New Testament, he healed them all.
Amen.
Jesus was not there thinking, well, have you prayed enough?
Right.
Have you read your Bible enough? Have you fasted enough?
Right.
You know, is Lord Almighty in a good mood?
Right.
Do you deserve to be healed? Have you lived a perfect, sinless life? Then I shall grant you my healing.
Right.
You know, Jesus didn't minister like that. So let's break down the walls of some of our wrong thinking. If we want to receive the power of God unto salvation and see that working in our lives, we need to be a little bit more open-minded, some of us. Amen? Because, you know, God has good things for us.
Amen.
He is not holding back. He is not withholding his goodness or his love from you.
Amen.
Amen. And just, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He has not changed his mind. Healing has always been God's plan. In fact, you know, we can see this even in the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission is powerful. Many, many times people overlook this. But let's look at this. This is in Mark 16. Just if you have your Bible, just flick on over there with me.
You know, part of this, when we were dealing with Hannah, I was thinking, you know, I'm a loving dad, I'm a loving father. I'd do anything to see my daughter well. Mm-hmm. And you know what, this when you think that God chooses not to heal you, then that questions your love, you know, God's love for you. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking, well, does God really love me? If he loved me, surely he'd heal me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the slippery slope where you can start questioning God's love for you and things like that. So it's so important for us to understand this and get a handle on this.
Right. Let's look at this. This is in, I'm going to look in Mark 16, and I'm reading this from the King James Version. This was one of the, we're going to look at a couple of different versions of this. We're going to look in Matthew as well. Okay, but this is one of the last instructions that he gave his disciples before he left the earth. And he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everyone. This is the gospel that is the power unto salvation for all who believe in, okay? That he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believe not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. For they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And, you know, it goes on and says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth, this is the disciples, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. When we start to preach the word, the signs will follow.
Amen.
It's when we start to preach the real gospel, the gospel that is the power unto salvation, we're going to start to see that miracle working power being evident in our lives.
Amen. That's awesome. Maybe we could pick that up in the beginning of the next episode and actually look into that, what that Great Commission means. But we're out of time this time, so we want to pray for you before we finish. Praise God, and just pray for you and believe for you. So let's pray and agree for the people that are watching right now. Father God, I thank you for every person watching this series right now. I thank you, Lord, you know where they are and you know what they need, Lord. I thank you, it's your will for them to be healed. I thank you, Lord Jesus, you will that they be healed now in Jesus' name. You want them whole and healthy. And right now we speak life to your bodies. We curse any diseases in your bodies right now. And we speak life and we say, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you that healing is normal.
Amen.
It is a normal part of our lives as believers. And we gladly get on board with your word.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask that you confirm the word with signs and wonders following. And show us and unpack this for us so this becomes truth in our lives. Jesus.
Amen. Thanks for watching, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
If you enjoyed this teaching, visit our website today to order the complete series, TerraDesMinistries.com. If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
We had a revelation that, hang a second, God is a good God, and there is another report. This doctor's report doesn't have to be the end. And I'm hoping this is encouraging some of you that this report that you may have received doesn't have to be the end. There is another report. And in our hearts, we as parents had to decide, what were we going to elevate? What were we going to focus on? What were we going to magnify? Was it going to be that we're just going to focus on our little girl in front of us that's clearly wasting away and dying and slowly becoming vegetative? We were watching slowly her life slip away from us and feeling helpless. All of those emotions that you can imagine parents with a dying child would feel. That was our reality. But at some point in that, we grabbed onto a truth that God has a plan for Hannah's life, and it's that she's going to live and not die and declare the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
We started to magnify what God said about our situation, what God said was possible, rather than what the doctor's outcome that they forecast.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.